All right, committee fam, welcome back to another episode. It's conference championship week, and we have a lot to talk about. There's various playoff scenarios and chaos scenarios that could arise this weekend and leave the committee wondering, what the heck are we going to do? So let's get into it. Friday, we'll start with the first game, even though it's not playoff related. New Mexico State taking on Liberty for the CUSA chip. Which actually should be a pretty good game. Liberty favored by 11. As you know, New Mexico State beat Auburn in Jordan-Hare just 2 weeks ago, 31-10. And then Auburn had the most horrendous collapse I've maybe ever seen, and lost on the last, pretty much the last play, to Alabama in the Iron Bowl, which really sucks because if Bama had lost to Auburn, it would take away a lot of chaos pressure here. Obviously, Georgia can just win and take care of business, take the number one seed, and it'll all be good. But if Bama wins, as Kirk Herbstreit has just said, all hell breaks loose. So Liberty, if they win this game, move to 13-0. And I don't think it's going to be enough. I guess we'll see. If Tulane loses to SMU, then Liberty should get the New Year's Six spot. If I am correct in saying that, I believe I am. Let's see. Okay, yeah. So that should be the case. So SMU taking on Tulane 3 o'clock on Saturday. Tulane obviously one loss only to Ole Miss. SMU 2 losses, 1 was to Oklahoma. They're both 8-0 in the American, but back to Friday. So Liberty favored by 11, over under 56.5. I'm going to be taking Liberty with the points there. Looking for a 2-score win from the Red Hawks. Sorry, the Flames. Shout out Liberty, Frisco Liberty Red Hawks. Coach Swinney getting them boys in gear for the playoffs, I'm sure, as they're looking to make a chip run. Once they lost their boys, Colton Rogers, Race Leonard, Evan Stewart, you know, they just weren't the same, though. So we'll see. And then, of course, a big boy Friday night, 7 p.m. on ABC, Oregon versus Washington in Vegas. So they met up earlier in Seattle, 36-33, in a game that both teams had a chance to win. I think I came away from that game thinking Oregon was the better team, and they should have won, and they didn't. They didn't. Obviously, they went for that fourth down before halftime. I believe there was, if I remember correctly, there was a missed kick by Oregon. Yeah. Okay, so Oregon did miss a field goal. So the Ducks outpossessed the Huskies 34-21 to 25-39, almost 10 minutes more. Outgained the Huskies by 126 yards. The Huskies had the only turnover of the game, and Oregon had 7 more first downs. So I really think that Oregon had every chance in the world to win the game. Obviously, they didn't. They did not win the game. So just to be clear, Washington ranked higher for a reason, obviously. Washington's undefeated team. And there's been a lot of chatter about Oregon. Mainly from Greg McElroy and TND Takeover, if you follow him, that it's an absolute sham that Oregon's behind Texas and Bama. Well, some of you saw on the Snapchat, what I've said, or what we've seen for years, is Bama gets the eye test every year, seemingly every year. And right now, they did not get that. Maybe if they crushed Auburn, maybe it's a different story. I, you know, honestly kind of doubt it. But, like, coming off of the wins against Tennessee, LSU, and Kentucky, Bama sat at 9-1, and there was so many people saying this is Bama is the second best team in the country. And the way they were playing, I didn't necessarily disagree with that, that Bama could potentially be that good of a team. Now, did I think they should be ranked ahead of Texas? No. They lost by double digits at home to Texas. There's no scenario which they should jump Texas. But there is a scenario which they could jump Texas. Of course, beating the number one team in the nation who hasn't lost in 29 or whatever games carries quite a bit of weight. But Oregon, I do not think is ranked improperly. I think the Ducks are right where they should be at number 5. That's where I have them as well. And I think it's – for Oregon, it's win and you're in. You are already number 5 in the committee's eyes, and all you have to do is move up one spot, and you will obviously jump a number 3 Washington that you just beat in the second time around, especially after – a game in Seattle that you could have and should have won, not that you did, but the fact that that was lost on the road, and then you avenged that on the neutral site. Oregon's in the playoff. Win and you're in. Oregon is in the playoff. So the interesting thing is Oregon's favored by 10, and I'm not willing to take that, so I'm going to take the Huskies plus 10. However, I think it very well could be, and likely will be, within the 7 to 10 range. I haven't made my complete prediction. It's 65.5 on the over-under. You know, it's... I think right now, after debate, I was at 3, and then I was kind of pushed up 7-ish. I think I'm at 6 right now. I think right now I would say Oregon by about 6. And over under 65.5 signifies that that would be a 35-29 or a 36-30. And I think that's kind of right on the money. I had my buddy Daniel ask me, what do I do? Take the over under in the Oregon-Washington game. And he was asking from a 67. And I said under, barely. And just like I said, like 36-30 sounds about right to me. And, of course, the last game was 36-33. Not that that really matters in this score. I would assume it's going to be a little bit lower scoring, just a little bit, second time around. So we'll see. And this game also could decide the Heisman. Now, I want to look at the actual odds because Jaden Daniels certainly has a fantastic chance to win the Heisman. But there is a chance that this is the Heisman Trophy decider. Both these quarterbacks will be going to New York. So Bo Nix, according to BetMGM, is sitting at minus 185. Jaden Daniels at plus 140. Michael Penix at plus 1600. So it's just those three in the race pretty much. I think that they are giving Bo Nix minus 185 with saying that Oregon's going to win. I think they are implying Oregon will win in that scenario because his odds should not be that good at the current moment. Obviously, if Washington wins, it's going to be Penix versus Daniels. Like I said, if Oregon wins, it's Nix versus Daniels. Either way, I believe the loser will probably finish third in the voting. We go to Sportsbook on FanDuel, Bo Nix minus 200, Jaden Daniels plus 160. So kind of the same thing, Penix plus 1600. Vegas Insider, Bo Nix getting about minus 200. Daniels in the plus 120 to 170 range. Penix in the same. So everyone's kind of giving the same. And then Beck and Milroe, I'm seeing here. Everyone else around plus 15,000 anyways. Not really any shots. So it looks like Bo Nix is the odds-on favorite. It's gonna be tough. It really depends how the game plays because with Nix being the favorite like that, if Oregon wins, he's gonna win it based on these odds. What these odds are telling me, he's gonna win it. Don't have a problem with that. If Penix wins, and he potentially jumps all the way up, he's gonna win it. If he does, I don't have a problem with that. Jaden Daniels has been fantastic. It's although, you know, Lamar won the Heisman in 2016 with an 8-4 record, I believe. And I think they even finished 8-5. if I'm not mistaken. Maybe they. No, they okay. They finished 9-4. What is it? Okay, no. Oh, that's right. So they were 9-3 and then lost the bowl game. So they went 9-4. But Lamar won the Heisman. But they were number 5 into last 2 weeks of the season, where they got blown out by Houston and then lost to Kentucky. But he still won it, you know. And they had the close game against Clemson, so they were able to, like, because of beating number 2 Florida State early on in the season and staying in that playoff race, Lamar was able to get more exposure. Obviously, Jaden Daniels, everyone knows the kind of season he's having. But LSU lost early, and they haven't been back really to the national spotlight. Of course, it's LSU. They have a spotlight on them. But they lost their first game, and then they went 3 in a row, but Mississippi State and Arkansas, and then lost again to Ole Miss. So 3-2. So it's tough to come from that to truly get into the Heisman look. It also doesn't help when you play Georgia State in the second-to-last week of the season and Jaden Daniels plays the whole game pretty much. That's a little unnecessary. I guess, I mean, you can play how you want. It's not like it really matters. There's nothing wrong with playing, of course. But, you know, this is, what I'm trying to say is this is stakes here. This is a de facto playoff game in the Pac-12 championship. The winner is going to the playoff. So I feel it's much more fitting for college football for this to decide the Heisman Trophy winner than it is for Jaden Daniels, who's ever since the loss to Bama, which was let's see, what was the date? November 4th. So it's almost been a month that we've already known LSU was not even in contention for an SEC West crown. So with that being said, I hope that this game decides the Heisman winner, and I think it very much, very well should and will. So moving on, Oklahoma State taking on Texas at AT&T Stadium. Unfortunately, my Sooners were not able to make it. Really, really disappointed in BYU. I was so mad. I cannot believe they didn't win that game. But whatever, we move on. The line is 15.5 for Texas. I think Texas is gonna put work on them, but that's a big number. So I'm gonna take right now. I'm gonna take Oklahoma State, and it could be a backdoor cover. I would say right now I'm feeling about Texas by 11-13. So maybe you see Texas is up 38-20, and Oklahoma State gets a late touchdown. Even a field goal there covers, 38-23, even that covers. Something like that. Like, you know, maybe it's 35-17, and same thing, 35-17, they get a field goal, they get a touchdown, 35-24, whatever. So I think Texas will own the game, but I like Oklahoma State on a cover, either just a competitive cover or just a backdoor cover. That's fine, too. That still works. SMU Tulane, we'll move on to the American Championship. And we'll talk about Texas a little more here in a second after I get through the rest of the games. We'll just go through the games first. So Tulane, 11-1, like we said. SMU, 10-2. So SMU lost in Norman this year. Tulane coming to Norman next year, so very interested in this game. Tulane has ripped off 10 in a row since losing to Ole Miss in week 2. And very much so, if Tulane wins this game, they are going to the New Year's Six again after beating USC in the Cotton Bowl last year. SMU maybe has a shot. It doesn't really seem right that they could jump Liberty, although it would be quite the win for them to beat Tulane, so maybe, but. You know, SMU lost on the road in Norman and on the road in Fort Worth. Only 2 Power 5 games, though. You'd like to see them win one of them, you know, but Group of 5, that's all right. Though I believe Preston Stone got injured last week, and will not be playing this game. Let me confirm that. Yeah, Preston Stone broke his leg last week. Okay, so he passed for almost 3,200 yards and 28 touchdowns. They're going to have to go to the backup. So we're taking Tulane here. Kevin Jennings coming in for the Ponies. Tulane favored by 3.5. We're going to take Tulane to cover that. Tickets only $14, Yulman Stadium and New Orleans. So if you're in New Orleans, check that out. But moving on, SEC Championship. This is going to have major playoff implications, as we know. We'll talk about later. So Georgia and Bama have not played since the Natty 2 years ago, in which Georgia won. You know, Khalil Ringo with the pick six to ice the game against Bryce Young. Everyone knows it was a great game. So the Dogs are favored by 5.5. Georgia is better. Georgia is the better team. But it's very hard to bet against Nick Saban. It's even harder to bet against Nick Saban and the Tide in Atlanta and in the SEC Championship game. I'm going to have a tough time taking the Dogs to cover. If my life depended on it, I'm taking the Dogs to win. And I think I will be taking the Dogs to win. But as of right now, I'm going to take the Bama cover, and I'm saying 3 or 4. So 24-20, 28-24, 27-24, 24-21, 20-17, 21-17. Anything in there, pretty much. I think it's going to be flirting with the over-under. All those scores I just listed were under. It's at 54.5. But you know, who knows, maybe it's like 37-34 and they go crazy. I'm taking the Dogs right now. We're going to move on. You'll see my predictions eventually tomorrow. But for now we're going to take the Dogs, but we're going to say leaning Bama cover. Moving on to ACC Championship game, Florida State favored by 1.5. We saw Tate Rodemaker go into Gainesville last week and get the win. Although Florida State didn't look great. Louisville lost to Kentucky, which is very embarrassing. I'm kind of baffled that, I mean, I'm just baffled. Like, not that Louisville has necessarily been great in the past 2 weeks before. They barely beat Virginia and Miami. They definitely could have lost both of those games. Louisville's a good team. Louisville's not a great team. They're a really good team. You can't go 10-2 without being really good. You can't. But you can go 10-2 without being great. And I think Florida State's going to win the game. I think they're going to find a way to win. If Florida State wins, they're in. I don't care that Jordan Travis is out. It's unfortunate, but the way that the playoff, you know, 2014, Florida State made the playoff at 13-0, and I was like, I had a friend that was a Florida State fan at the time, and I was like, Florida State sucks. Like, they don't even really, you know, I was like, they don't even really deserve to make it. Like, they're gonna get crapped on, and they did, you know. Oregon put the hammer on them, 59-20, in the first ever college football playoff game. And I remember that game like it was yesterday. It was a beautiful scene at the Rose Bowl. So very excited that we're back at Rose Bowl Sugar Bowl this year. Literally, the Rose Bowl Sugar Bowl should be the semifinal every time. Even being from Dallas, no one cares about the Cotton Bowl. The Cotton Bowl sucks. Like, there's a chance it's like Texas, Missouri. They're going to be pissed. They're going to be like, are you kidding me? Now, I don't know if they'll do that considering Texas. Well, I guess they will because they did that to us. COVID year. We beat Iowa State in the Big 12 Championship. They sent us right back to AT&T for the Cotton Bowl. The Cotton Bowl sucks. The Fiesta Bowl, I like the Fiesta Bowl. I do like the Fiesta Bowl. Peach Bowl. The Peach Bowl is cool. It's not the Sugar Bowl. It's cool. And then the Orange Bowl, I do like the Orange Bowl as well. The Orange Bowl is cool. So I'd say, yeah, cause you know, the rotation is Sugar Rose, Fiesta Peach and Cotton Orange, if I am not mistaken. I believe that is the case. Let me check. Check. Yeah, Cotton Bowl, Orange Bowl, and then Fiesta Bowl, Peach Bowl. But really, the Rose Bowl, for the Rose, like when they go to the 12-team playoff, for the Rose Bowl to be a quarterfinal game is disrespectful to the Rose Bowl. There's nothing in college football more beautiful than the Rose Bowl, and it does not deserve to be a quarterfinal game, but I digress. So back to Florida State. Florida State, undefeated, 13-0, wins over LSU, Clemson, Duke, Miami, Florida. And then anything else really notable here? Not really, not much else of note. But it's a, you know, it's like, it's a good resume. It's a good resume. And I've seen a lot of people saying that it's not good enough. If LSU was 10-2 right now, let's say LSU didn't play Florida State. If LSU is 10-2 right now, keep in mind they beat Missouri. They lost to Ole Miss. I think they'd still be above Ole Miss. Like, they're only two spots behind Ole Miss right now, and they're 9-3. And they beat Missouri. I think LSU would probably be number 9 right now with a loss to or with losses to Bama and Ole Miss. I think they'd still be above Ole Miss in that little three-way thing between them, Ole Miss, and Missouri. Obviously, because Missouri didn't play Ole Miss, but LSU played both. Anyways, so that's a great win from Florida State, and they dogged them. They dogged them. And then beating Florida on the road with Rodemaker, not obviously it's not it's not the most impressive thing in the world, but it's a rivalry game, and it's with your backup quarterback, and you still win by double digits on the road. You know, it wasn't like the Iron Bowl, where like it seemed like Alabama just pulled it out their rear ends, and you're like, how did they win that game? Now this one, it was a close game. Florida had the ball for 10 minutes more, but I just don't think it would be right. And here's again with the thing, like who deserves it before versus who's the top four. We'll get into that in a second. But I think Florida State is winning your end. I do. And will they be above? Would they be above Oregon? That's another question. Big Ten Championship, Michigan, Iowa. This one's the biggest line of the week. 22 points. There's just not much to say about this game. The Wolverines get the win over Ohio State last week. Iowa, great defensively, just not enough on the offense. Michigan's going to win this game. It's an over-under 35.5, which is crazy low. I'm taking the over. Michigan minus 22. Also, you know, both of those I think are, I would lean like 55 or 60, like 55, 45 or 60, 40 to the Michigan side and the over. Okay. So let's, now that we've picked the games, let's get into playoff scenarios and playoff chaos. Okay, so let's get into playoff scenarios now, shall we? As we said, Pac-12 championship, that is the playoff spot. Winner goes to the playoff. Georgia, win in the playoff, obviously. Michigan, win in, obviously. Florida State, I'm saying Florida State, win and you're in. They're going to get a win. It would be over number 14, Louisville, who would likely still stay in the top 20 after that loss. I'm very sure. It's now being reported that Tate Rodemaker might not be playing after he took a bit of a hit sliding against Florida. And I want to make sure. Let's see, according to Chop Chat, Tate Rodemaker. Let's see. So then Brock Glenn, true freshman Brock Glenn came in, and that's what I've been seeing in all the comments. They're all saying Brock's gonna do it. That'll be all right. So it could be a concussion for Glenn for Rodemaker, and so Brock Glenn could be the guy who comes in for the Noles and could lead them to the playoff. Maybe pull a little bit of Cardale Jones. So Brock Glenn, true freshman from Tennessee, 6'2", 213, four-star prospect, number 21 in the class. Let's see. Displays above-average athleticism, appears to have some quick twitch ability in the pocket to extend plays, plays in a shotgun pro-style offense, but shows the ability to play under center. So, I mean, either way, coming in with a true freshman quarterback is not what you want coming in the ACC championship game. He made the Elite 11 finals in 2022. Class 2A playoff senior season. Don't know how Tennessee ball works as compared to Texas, where I'm from, but 2A obviously is not really what you want to hear. Hopefully that's not the same thing. That's a little concerning. Either way, Florida State, win and you're in. So now we get into really the fluff, the bulk. The what's going to happen. So Ohio State sits there at 6. Very unlikely they go. But they're going to get jumped. Very likely. Because I think at least Texas or Alabama, at least one of the two will win. I'd be shocked if neither won. Although, of course, I did say I picked Georgia and picked Texas. So let's do some scenarios here. So let's take Georgia wins. Michigan wins, FSU wins, and Washington wins. Those are all the top four favorites. They all win. They're all in. 4-13-0s. That would be unfortunate for Texas to go 12-1 conference champ, not make it. But that's how it would be. If they got put in the Cotton Bowl, that'd be hilarious. If Texas goes 12-1 and then they have to go back to the Cotton Bowl, that would be so funny. That's besides the point. If I was a Texas fan in that case, I'd be hoping for Fiesta against Oregon or, you know, I guess Cotton. Maybe they'll give you Bama. If you get Bama in the Cotton, well, I mean, I don't know if they're going to want a rematch in a bowl game, but that would be pretty cool. So four favorites win, they're in. Let's say Georgia, Michigan, and we're going to get into a Michigan losing scenario, but that's very unlikely. You know, and then something else in the chaos scenario is they're saying, well, chaos, like they'll throw in Oregon 12-1, Washington 12-1. Doesn't matter. If Oregon wins, Washington is eliminated. Doesn't matter. Washington's not going at 12-1 because there's going to be someone else. And you know, 90% likely there's going to be someone else, but I guess really if we have to, we can look into that. So Georgia 13-0, Michigan 13-0. We'll say Oregon wins and Florida State wins. So then Oregon 12-1, they're in. Texas wins, that doesn't matter. Even though they're 12-1. So that would be a Georgia-Michigan, or Georgia-Oregon, and then Michigan-Florida State. So then let's say Florida State loses. You're on to Brock Glenn, true freshman quarterback. Let's go through some Florida State losing scenarios, because I really do believe Florida State's going to, if they win, they're going to be in. All these four Power 5 teams, the top four. If the top four win, any of those teams, they're in. No matter what, they win, they're in. So let's say Georgia, 13-0. Michigan, 13-0. Washington, 13-0. And now Florida State loses. So obviously Georgia won, so then Bama loses in that case. So then in that scenario, Texas is in. So Texas needs a Florida State loss. Obviously, they're going to need someone in the top four to lose. It's most likely to be Florida State. Texas needs that. They definitely – Texas needs help. Texas needs to win big, for ideally for them. So let's say Georgia, Michigan, Oregon, and Texas. That's the playoff. So then in that case, obviously they just slide up. So then it's Georgia, Texas, and Michigan, Oregon. This is a really interesting playoff. This is, it's not the, like, the most crazy one that could happen, but it feels, it's an interesting collection of teams. I'll put it at that. So Ohio State, so Texas needs Florida State to lose, and Bama probably also needs Florida State to lose, and they need, we'll get into Bama scenarios in a second. We'll go to Ohio State first. So Ohio State is going to want Oklahoma State. So let's say, okay, so Georgia wins, Michigan wins, because Michigan's getting in over Ohio State no matter what. Even if Michigan's 12-1, they're going to make it over Ohio State. Doesn't matter. Washington wins, pushes Oregon out of the way. So then you got Florida State loses, so you got FSU 12-1, Ohio State 11-1, Texas loses to Oklahoma State. They're going to need Texas to lose. Texas 11-2, they're out. Bama 11-2, they're out. In that scenario, and then obviously Oregon also 11-2, they're out. In that scenario, it's between a 12-1 Florida State, not a conference champ, and an 11-1 Ohio State. And I find it hard to see a way that the committee gives that to Florida State. I don't think the committee is rooting for Florida State to lose or is like actively trying to get them out of the playoff. Obviously, we saw, not that it's necessarily the same scenario, Ohio State beat Wisconsin 59-0 with Cardale Jones. But there, unless that happens, I mean, well, obviously we're talking about losing scenarios here, so that's not going to happen in this scenario. We're saying Florida State loses. I just can't see it happening, especially with Louisville losing to Kentucky last week. If Louisville doesn't lose to Kentucky last week, they currently sit at number 9. And it doesn't, it's not, it's a big difference, you know, 11-1 to 10-2, number 9 and number 14. It's not like, you know, outrageously different, but it's, you know, that's a, as the committee says, top 10 quality loss. It's a quality loss. So in this scenario, Georgia, Michigan, Washington, all 13-0, Texas lost, I think, and Florida State lost, of course. I think Ohio State gets the nod. So I would say that that playoff would be Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, and Washington. So a Georgia-Ohio State rematch, 1-4, just like last year. And a Michigan-Washington game in which Michigan and Washington were actually, if I'm not wrong, were supposed to play. I think they were supposed to play this year. Either this, you know, in a non-conference. They had a home-and-home, I think, was this year, next year, if I'm not mistaken. Obviously, got taken away, sort of like the Oklahoma-Georgia. Before the SEC move, Georgia was supposed to play in Norman this year, which I've spent years being excited for. But, you know, we'll see him soon. We'll see him soon in the SEC. So, that's what Ohio State needs. Ohio State needs Florida State and Texas to lose. And really, is that it? No, because I say they also need Washington to win. Because if, well, and, okay, and Georgia. They need Georgia to win, too. They need Bama out the way. If Oregon wins in a close one. I still think Washington gets the nod over Ohio State, and I think they would deserve that. So then that would set up a Georgia Washington and a Michigan Oregon. With Oregon being number three, Washington being number four. So let's get into Alabama. If Alabama wins, and we're going to say Texas wins too. Texas and Alabama win. We are in a bit of a pure chaos. So we're still going to – we're giving Michigan the win, 13-0. Of course, if Oregon wins, Washington is not in over Texas or Bama. I don't believe. I could be wrong that maybe they – because the interesting thing, okay, is because Georgia is such a big data point for Alabama that there is going to be serious consideration for Bama to jump Texas. And that just shouldn't be the case because Texas won by 2 scores in Tuscaloosa. But they're – like, they're seriously, I feel, is going to be talk about that. Even though Texas won in Tuscaloosa by 10 points. People are going to say that's a different team. Well, you're looking at the whole body of work. It's the same season. It's not a different team. You could say, in quote, is it a different team? Sure. But same season, same team. So, in the event Bama wins, Texas wins, what do we have? Okay, so Texas and Bama both win. Again, I think there's going to be some people in the committee who are actually going to try and justify Bama over it because of the data point over number one Georgia, but I just don't think we can entertain that. So let's say we got Michigan 13-0. We'll start with Washington winning. So we'll take Washington number 2 at 13-0 as well. So we got a 12-1 Georgia, not an SEC champ. We got a 12-1 Bama, SEC champ. A 12-1 Texas, Big 12 champ. And then obviously with those three in the mix, Ohio State not relevant at all. Oregon out. We're going to say Florida State loses. We're gonna go with that one first. So 12-1 Florida State, they're gone, and then we'll come back and see. Because I mean, like I said, I still think Florida State winning you're in. So Florida State should stay at 3 in that case. But we're gonna first debate 2 spots for these last 3 teams, and then we'll go to 2. So Texas has to be one of the 2. If Texas wins in this scenario, and you have a 12-1 Georgia, 12-1 Bama, 12-1 Texas, one of those teams has to be Texas. It cannot just be Georgia and Bama. And, of course, with Texas winning in Tuscaloosa, I find it hard that Georgia wouldn't be the 4th team. Or even, I think they likely would fall to 4. I think it would be Texas jumps to 3. With a win over number 18, Oklahoma State. And really, it's going to come down. They say full body work. There's a definite, I mean, we're going to need to look at this because, of course, this is chaos scenarios we're debating here. And it's going to be tough for the committee. If Bama, I mean, that's all that has to happen. If Bama wins, the committee is screwed. They are going to be up the entire night. They're not going to get a lick of sleep. So Georgia's got wins over, notably, Missouri, Ole Miss, and Tennessee. Tennessee, of course, we know, does not deserve to be ranked. Everyone knows that. Yet they are still ranked 21st. Whatever. But Georgia did dominate that game. Tennessee scored first. Georgia outgained him by 200, doubled the first downs, outpossessed him 41-19. Georgia just destroyed Tennessee, destroyed Ole Miss. Missouri actually was a tight game. That one was in Athens. And that was closer than I thought it was going to be. I thought Georgia was going to come out swinging and destroy them in that one. But Missouri held their own. It was a 3-point game with as little as 10 minutes to go. And Georgia out, possessed them by 9, barely outgained them just by 20 yards, same first downs. And Missouri had the two turnovers. So on the road in Athens, definitely commendable. That's honestly, that game, the way Missouri fought in that game is a big reason why they're ranked where they are. Of course, you'd never like to play a quality loss, but you get more lenience when you're Missouri, a team that's not normally there. And of course, Ole Miss isn't getting any because they got absolutely clapped. And I believe, let me go back. Was that one? No, that one was also in Athens the week after. So Georgia would have 3 ranked wins. Also wins over Auburn, Kentucky, and Florida, and Georgia Tech, which I've got them marked down for, three ranked wins, 7 500 Power 5 wins, and 9 Power 5 wins, compared to Alabama then, after the Georgia game, would move up to 4 ranked wins, 7 500 Power 5 wins as well, and also 9 Power 5 wins. Let me just confirm that Bama would have 4 ranked wins there. So we got Ole Miss, Tennessee, LSU, Georgia. Yeah. So Bama would have more ranked wins and the win over Georgia, as well as the loss being, of course, it's but the head-to-head goes to Bama, and then they lose to Texas. So based on the fact that you're not going to put a Georgia team in over Bama in that scenario, unless for some reason both teams were to make it, in this case, we're going to go Michigan, Washington, Texas 3, Bama 4. And then, so let's go, likely it's going to be Texas ahead regardless, but let's debate that. What happens if Florida State wins? Okay, so let's say Florida State wins. So we got Michigan, and then we'll get into Oregon as well, too. Michigan, Washington, 2. Florida State, 3. Only one spot. We just gave the 3 to Texas over Bama, and it's got to remain that way. The committee cannot possibly justify a 10-point home loss getting nullified. I don't care that they get the data point over Georgia in Atlanta. It's not enough. Texas gets the 4th spot. So Michigan 13-0, Washington 13-0, Florida State 13-0, Texas 12-1 get the 4th spot. They're playing number 1 Michigan. Then we got a Washington Florida State game, which I actually don't know which one would be the Rose Bowl in that case, because obviously they're trying to do it sort of distance based, but both teams would want the Rose Bowl. Michigan and Washington, obviously, because Big Ten, Pac-12 play the Rose Bowl anyways. So I assume they'd have to give it to Michigan, because, of course, the Rose Bowl is just more prestigious than the Sugar Bowl. Both of those teams are always vying for a Rose Bowl spot. So we'll say Michigan, Texas in the Rose Bowl, Washington, Florida State, Sugar Bowl. Either way, in that scenario, either way, Florida State and Texas kind of have a fan advantage. So that kind of sucks for Michigan and Washington if that were to happen. But let's talk now Oregon winning in that scenario. So Michigan, number 1. Oregon wins. So we've got 12-1 Oregon. We've got I guess we'll go Florida State wins 2 first in this. So Florida State would then, I don't know actually if they would be number 2. It wouldn't really matter, obviously, because it would be just a 2 versus 3. Makes no difference. But we get a rematch of the 2014 Rose Bowl, which again we talked about earlier. Despite the fact that Oregon won by 39, great game, and just a lot of good memories from that game. Jameis Slip. Very cool. It would be very cool if the last playoff had a rematch of that game. So I'm all up for that. So we've got a 12-1 Oregon. We've got 12-1 Texas. And then 12-1 Bama and 12-1 Georgia. In which, yet again, with the 13-0 FSU, I'm coming to the conclusion repeatedly that there is just not going to be enough without Florida State losing for Georgia to... I really think if Georgia loses and FSU wins, the Dogs are going to find themselves in the Peach Bowl or something. It doesn't seem like it's going to be able to happen. So we've got Michigan, Florida State, then we got a number 3 Oregon, who just beat number 3 Washington in this case, and then number 4 Texas. So if there's any way for Georgia to have a fight, like we said, we need Florida State to lose for them. And let's say Texas loses as well. So Michigan takes the 13-0. We'll slide Washington. 13-0, number 2 Washington. And then you've got a 12-1 Georgia, non-SEC champ. You got a 12-1 Bama, SEC champ. You've got 11-1 Ohio State. And obviously Oregon and Texas lose. So they're out of the equation. So in that case, and Florida State lost, 12-1 Florida State, my bad. That's the only way that both SEC teams are going to get in. There's not enough room any other way. You would need to see a Florida State and a Texas loss for both SEC teams to make it. Of course, as well with the Bama win. Bama's not going with a loss, obviously. So in that case, then I think we see number 1 Michigan, number 2 Washington, number 3 Bama, number 4 Georgia. So we got a rematch of the Orange Bowl from 2 years ago in Michigan versus Georgia, which would, again, I mean, really Michigan and Washington are kind of screwed in a lot of these scenarios we're doing where Georgia loses and they both win, because they're sliding up to be the top seeds and they are further, or whoever's not going to the Rose Bowl is gonna just get screwed by the fact that the Sugar Bowl is in New Orleans and Bama and Georgia make that trip countless times. Now, not to say Michigan and Washington don't travel well. Of course, we know they do, and they're gonna. But a little unfortunate. So what we haven't talked about yet is what happens if Michigan loses, which, of course, as I said earlier, the spread is the largest of the week for a reason. There should be no way that Michigan loses to Iowa, but it's possible. It happens. So, you know, we saw it with TCU last year, 12-0 loss, still made it in. Could Michigan make it in still? You got the win over Ohio State. So let's look at a scenario in which Michigan does not make it. So Georgia, number 1. Well, I don't know if that actually helps in this scenario. We'll say we'll write it in first. So Washington 13-0. Florida State 13-0. So there's two spots locked down. And then we'll go Bama. Let's look at Bama first. So 12-1 Bama, they get the win. 12-1 Georgia. 12-1 Michigan. 12-1 Texas. We'll throw them in there too. Now it gets tricky because you've got Michigan in the way, which something that would blindside the committee even more than not necessarily more, I guess, than a Bama loss, but just kind of just more head scratching in the sense that not the committee says they don't look ahead. You know, believe them as you will. You know, they say some shady things sometimes. But I highly doubt they're anticipating a scenario in which Michigan loses. I think they're kind of looking to that should be the one. If there's any guarantee I could give you from this weekend, I would say Michigan's going to win. So Washington 13-0, Florida State 13-0, 12-1 Alabama, 12-1 Georgia, 12-1 Michigan, 12-1 Texas. And then obviously just on the outside, not that they're getting in, but you got to remember Ohio State's there at 11-1. So Michigan had the win over them. Texas has the win over Bama. Bama has the win over Georgia. Yet now Michigan with the loss to Iowa, which would, I think with a win in this case, FSU won as well. So Iowa jumps. They get Louisville out of the way. They likely jump into 9th or 10th. So now about a top 10 Iowa. And they would be headed, you know, at that point, probably the Fiesta Bowl. Maybe the Orange Bowl. Depends where Penn State goes. Whatever. So again, I think Bama gets the nod over Georgia. If Bama wins, Bama, I think, should be over Georgia. But like we said, Texas should be over Bama. And in this scenario, I would say it's very likely then Texas-Bama. So I would say looking at a Washington, number one Washington versus number four Bama, a flip-flop of the 2016 Sugar Bowl, I believe it was, when Jake Browning was at Washington, in which they were completely outclassed. You know, it was 24-7, but everyone, you know, Bama just rolled them. And then you've got a Florida State-Texas game, which obviously with Brock Glenn now being at quarterback for Florida State would be very interesting. Potentially setting up a Texas-Bama rematch in the Natty, which would probably, I would say, be the highest rated college football game maybe in the last 10 years if that were to happen. So if we look at Texas's ranked wins, you've got Alabama, you've got Kansas was ranked at the time that they beat them, which I only count for like a, you guys know when I do my rankings, if you beat a ranked team and they're no longer ranked, you get kind of like a, you get a half ranked win. But so the committee, they were ranked in the AP at the time. The committee was not yet. But I assume, I presume they'll still give Texas the ranked win for that. And then you got Kansas State also was ranked at the time, and they are still ranked. They're 25th now, I believe. So you're at three for Texas. And so Texas with three ranked wins, and obviously the win in Tuscaloosa is going to be enough. They get in there. Because Michigan, as many people have said, Michigan's schedule outside of Penn State and Ohio State, not really anything to point to. Maryland finished 7-5, but that was a Maryland team that was 5-0, then 5-4, and then eventually was able to finish 7-5. But not, you're just not really impressed by that. Rutgers 6-6. No one else, I believe, bowl eligible. And then, of course, the non-conference of ECU, UNLV, Bowling Green, which is just horrendous. You look at Oklahoma's non-conference from this year, and you think you can't get worse than that. And yet, somehow, it does with Michigan's. So, honestly, I'm kind of just running around in circles here. We're kind of running out of time. So, I just came back from a break and kind of lost my place as well. So, we've done enough, I think, and we're just going to see it play out. Pac-12 championship tonight, remember. Pac-12 winner is in. Michigan, Georgia, Florida State, with a win, they are in. That would be the playoff. Texas should remain over Alabama. But it's very tricky because Alabama, I think, should go over Georgia if they beat them. It seems like there's a way the SEC could get left out. We'll see. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be chaos. It's going to be madness. Get ready for just an absolutely absurd day of football. And, well, tonight and then tomorrow as well. I'll talk to you guys soon, probably on Sunday after the playoff is released and we get the bowl games. It's going to be very exciting. I'll talk to you guys then. Thank you for listening to the committee, and Boomer Sooner.